All right. Great song. Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. Welcome back to Punkonomics here on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. The voice of Honest College and the best in basement radio, and back on topic.
Right. So where were we? We were once
again. We were having an awesome conversation while you were listening to music. And
yeah, we always do. We always do like that.
I don't know if we can talk about that on the air. Can we?
About?
Eating placentas? We should open a restaurant right next to the hospital. That's probably illegal. Be cool, yeah. Though.
No, I think, I personally think every woman needs to know that, because, you know, I really wanted to do it, but then I was like, oh no, I you know, people are going to think I'm cannibalistic.
Well,
so, you know, the
decision-making process.
Yeah, if they can, I mean, right, if they would even let you, potentially it might be problematic for them to, well, yeah, you just put it in a bag and give it to me. Again, it depends on liability. There's a lot of these, again, these issues that are not really providing, you know, the families, the women, the society as a whole, the best outcome. But somehow they are imposed upon us, even though they don't make that much sense. But they were talking about how all animals, but humans, pretty much after birth, they eat the placenta, that sac, that the last stage of the feeding process of the baby through the pretty descriptive.
The caviar of birth.
Through the caviar of birth. Yeah, the birth caviar. You can call it that on the box, right? Oh, we can tell all those, like, nutritional jokes now, right? You know, like all the packaging of the sausages. We have these happy, smiling pigs, you know, hopping around. But in fact, it looks more like Auschwitz, you know, where they come from.
So do you think, like, in the past,
you know,
let's say early modern, do you think women ate the placenta on a regular basis? Do we know that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know the answer to that either.
I know where I could ask this.
Yeah?
I'm sure somebody on the
ask
international
it, because
network,
that would be very interesting to relate it to some of the folkloric versions of Little Red Riding Hood, when actually the wolf doesn't eat the grandmother. He kills her and cooks her, and Little Red Riding Hood eats her. And basically drinks her blood. And basically it's like the knowledge from
intergenerational,
the midwife knowledge, the maternity knowledge dispersed.
Yeah, well, if somebody out there knows, please call us 407-646-2915. So if anybody has that information, please call us.
Yeah, right. Remember, you'd expect that would have been, I mean, potentially, once again, it could have been banned early on as part of the literally age old, to some extent, since the dawn of stratified civilization, patriarchy, taking down, you know,
16th century is basically
women.
Where, you know, they started to implement those big medicine schools in France, Montpellier being the first one and the most famous one. And the doctors had absolutely no control over the population. So they went to the king and they said, hey, what about, you know, you say that everybody has to come to a doctor and they cannot go to their, you know, women herbalist or whatever. So they went to the church and they said, how do we do that? So they're like, oh, that's okay. We can say that all the herbalist women are witches. Let's kill them. And so with that, we lost about, 3,000 years of knowledge.
In the 1500s, they basically had the level of modern medicine, early 20th century. They had widely, women in Europe and every other part of the world pretty much had wide access to birth control, including the morning after, you know, in ancient times. Yeah. It's all stopped in the 19th century. Abortive plants, and people chose that. They went to the witch because even later on in the early, in the Enlightenment, right? The doctor, you go to the doctor with a problem, what they will do? Bleed you.
Yeah.
The witch would actually make you a cream of some kind that would actually cure whatever boil you had wherever, you know? It worked. So people went for it, and control of your generally control of fertility, birth control, and of course birth is part of it naturally.
Well,
is the core technology of humanity.
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue too is, you know, family size and how many kids you're planning on having. When my husband and I met, we said we wanted to have five kids.
Five.
We really truly wanted to have
a
large family.
How many now?
I have three. We're done.
Okay, I was wondering if you revised your environmentally irresponsible.
I know.
The more I'm amazed.
We are tree hugging hippie dirt.
So you should have done two.
So it's okay.
Zero.
But you know, part of the reason why we didn't have more children was because of my first cesarean. Because I was like, no way, no. That was the worst thing I have ever done in my entire life. I am never doing that ever again.
Right.
And about 2 years, I got the itch, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I really want another baby. And so we did. And after my second cesarean, I was like, no. I'm really done now. And, you know, life kind of happened with number three, which is a really long story.
Yeah.
But you know, she's a joy, and we are so grateful for her. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that part of the reason why I didn't want to have more children was because of the surgery. And I even said with my third pregnancy, I told my husband, I said, we need to have this in writing. If I have another cesarean, and this is me well into the beginning of my pregnancy, not even, you know, very far progressed, we're tying my tubes. I'm not having more than three cesareans because of the risk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The long-term risks nobody talks about. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, by the way, did you know that adhesions, which is scar tissue in your abdomen, can grow around your intestines and give you intestinal blockage later in life?
Right.
Absolutely due to your cesarean.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And what else? Things like that.
Other issues.
Childbirth and babies. We thought this would be an uncharacteristically positive show.
Right, I know, right?
We're at the intestinal blocking stage.
Talk about mom problems.
Yeah,
that's going to be rad. Yeah. But, you know, other issues that you can have is if you do continue to have babies, you can have what they always say in all the literature is, quote unquote, placental abnormalities. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a placental abnormality is? No, nobody does.
Cancer?
No, not at all, which is really
cysts?
Scary.
Right?
You think, fibrosis? Oh, my God, I could have a cancerous placenta. No,
right.
It means that your placenta is going to grow into your uterine lining and grow through your uterus into your bladder and into your intestines and perhaps even into the muscles in your abdomen.
Ooh,
and this is
gross.
Something, once you've had three cesareans, your risk goes from 1 in 500, I want to say, after two, down to like 1 in 60.
Which is a big jump.
1 in 500 to like 1 in 60. Don't quote me on the numbers because I'm not staring at the research right in front of me, but it's right around there. I mean, that jump is so huge. A woman with an unscarred uterus that has never seen any sort of abdominal or uterine surgery has, I think it's a 1 in 5,000 chance of a placental abnormality like that. Once you've had a uterine surgery, your risk of all of these issues really, really increases dramatically. And these are things that women need to be counseled about well early in their pregnancies so that they can understand, if I'm planning on having a large family, I need to put the pieces in place so that I'm not going to run into this risk. And then my family is going to be changed. My plan for my life is going to be changed because of this one moment in time.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's scary. Just knowing that, my belly hurts.
I know, right?
For real.
Yeah. It's a really unfortunate thing, and I really wish that people talked about this. People are like, no big deal. It's just a C-section.
Right.
People do it all the time.
And just because it happens all the time doesn't make it any less serious.
Literally yesterday an article came out of Boston about Brigham and Women's University, how they're trying to stem the spike in this rare placental abnormality. And we're like, the way to stem the spike in it is to stop the C-sections that are totally unnecessary. If you need one, have one, please.
They're there
save
for
your
a
life,
reason.
Save your baby's
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Do what you got to do. Or if it's your personal choice, go into it knowing 100% these are your risks for long term.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, I don't know, I'm kind of tired of being pregnant. I'm really uncomfortable and tired.
Right.
My doctor said we could just have the baby tomorrow morning at 9, so why not? And believe it or not, those conversations happen. I mean, I was at a meeting last night where we had 30 women sitting on a table, and I think maybe three of them with their first, because they didn't know any different. That was the conversation and how they got to their C-section.
It's a kind of a perfect storm, you know, in terms of the behavior here, because it kind of feeds, everything's there to create this situation you describe, and given our problematic healthcare system. So, you know, a little risk, right? I mean, better safe than sorry, right? So even I'm sure the doulas, they're probably, You know, they could have, we could wait another 20 minutes. But at some point you have to make that call. And that has to be done that way, right? Better to do a cesarean that you didn't need or could have maybe survived without.
But you're trading that risk. Right.
Right. I mean, that's there. That's there pushing a little bit. When in doubt, have a C-section, right? Of course, it's probably way better money for all involved. Here, that's direct interaction with our system. So, you know, good, honest people who have only your interest. And I'm assuming all doctors, as most are just like that, you know, but they work within a system.
Yes.
So they have, be careful. I have the manager who keeps giving me talks every 5 minutes about litigation and about, when in doubt, it's okay because that's actually, we take federal money, we run it around, we make a profit, kickbacks, all good. That's how we work. We are for profit hospital, aren't we? So everybody will be happy with you going a little bit more C-section rather than less.
But
everything that, and then of course, again, it's more
I remember revenue. That there were much more risks involved with the C-section than with a daily regular birth. The second obstetrician or whatever, telling me, okay, you know, when you have a C-section, you have risks of this and that, not that what you're saying, but like during the delivery, you know, because it's a surgery.
Right.
But so I don't understand why it's not that routine after all. You can still die under a C-section.
Well,
from
a point of view of a surgeon, you know, and it appears to me that maybe a lot of these complications are perhaps difficult to tie directly. It's not that on the table something goes wrong.
Oh, no. Placenta problems are tied directly to cesareans.
So do they get litigated against this? I mean, or complain that, all this happened? Or somehow is that considered to be bad luck? Sorry, sorry that happened.
It is such a huge issue. And there have been many, many women that I know personally, myself included, who've contacted attorneys and said, listen, this was my situation. I did not receive informed consent. I have post-traumatic stress disorder because of this chain of events that I had no control over. Mm-hmm. What are my options? And they said, is your baby alive? Yes.
Right.
Is your baby intact? Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'm not intact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I can't even function.
Right.
Yeah. Never mind drive past the hospital where I delivered without having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And, well, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. You and your baby are alive.
So as I suspected, right, there's all kind of talk. You know, all benefit, no cost for all those involved in the decision, and therefore it's an easy call. When in doubt, do it.
Well, and again, it's the trading of risk. You're saying, you know what, today we're going to be much more risk averse, and we're going to just go this route, but we're not really going to talk about what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years when you decide to have another.
Right.
And, you know, we were saying about risks to mom. Well, there's also risks to babies. And,
You
know, the risk is there's different risks for different scenarios. If you labor and then have a cesarean, the risks to you as the mom are much higher than if you go straight in for a C-section or if you decide to have a vaginal birth after cesarean, the risks are higher to the baby. Mm-hmm. Well, who do you pick?
Right.
Are you supposed to pick yourself over your child or your child over yourself?
Right.
Who wants to be put in a situation like that? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody better, or else, you know, we're gone within 8 years as a human race, right? I mean, what's the value of all of this stuff, right?
What's the value of a mother?
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's the survival of the species.
It's the value of the this is my body and this is what I need to do with it. And that is, it's a hard place to be because you're going to make decisions that not everybody's going to agree with.
Absolutely.
And there will always be that person saying, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. And it's kind of a no-win in that respect, that you have to genuinely own your decisions.
Yep.
And that means you have to do your own research because new information is coming out all the time. You know, studies keep happening, keep getting reviewed.
Are they in contradiction, probably? I wouldn't be surprised if there's a degree of argument.
There are some, but there's also the quality of the studies.
Right.
If you're looking at a number of individuals in a study that's 30,
right, yeah, whatever.
That's not a study. That's like a survey.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically a survey.
Right.
If you're looking at a meta-analysis of 5 different studies that each had 100,000 women in it, that's a study.
Right.
Yeah, unlike us economists, by the way, at least scientists have to write on the top of their paper who paid for their research.
Right.
We don't in econ, if you wonder why.
Nice.
You know.
I thought the minimum to have statistics. I remember that from
30?
From, yeah. 30.
That's what they teach.
No,
but yeah,
no, 1,000 in France, because I worked a lot for TV and stuff, so we did a lot of statistics on
the working, you know,
on what people watch and why and stuff like that. And if you don't have a pool of 1,000 people minimum, it's worthless.
Nah, it depends. Actually, honestly, I mean, usually, yeah, they say 30, and that's 101.
Right.
But for a simple, it depends on the nature of the questions, how
right.
how many. It depends on the data, how many, what the size of the population has to be for it to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the decision-making process of, you know, single 40-year-old males following diabetes information between their choices between choosing a sweet tea and an unsweetened tea, give me my 30, let's hit the N. We're good for our statistics. But if we're talking about lives,
right.
and we're talking about long-term outcomes of these lives and how it's going to affect our society as a whole, mm-hmm. mothers are the backbone of our society.
Yeah,
you know, we
sure.
need big numbers for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, and in many ways, we haven't been feminist for a while in a sense, but, you know, like what, at least a quarter, maybe a third of the entire economic activity that's not counted in GDP, you know, is care industry, and that is done over 80% by women. So you have all these imbalances, and in the health is really big though, because I think it's just such an example, right? Where in fact, you know, we need women to let's be all like dismal scientists here, right? I mean, I really channel why, and it's actually why in the 19th century dismal science was, you know, economists were described as dismal scientists for the best reasons. Those are the times where economists, unlike today where we're mostly scum, we were the good guys back in the 19th century. We were behind all the good stuff, progress, you know, women liberation, abolition of slavery. Economists were all behind, you know, distributing all wonderful things. So why do we become dismal? Let me be a dismal scientist like John Stuart Mill style here a little bit. Never mind, you know, stop talking like, you know, women, oh, should be on a pedestal, should be worshipped, should be this, should be that. Screw that. No, let's talk costs and benefits. Yeah? Hard-nosed, boring, right? They carry their children. Then they take care of the children. Yeah, I know, not entirely, but the vast majority, right?
Right? Yeah.
The old parents, they take care of them, right? Even the sick neighbor, typically, right? All of these things take place. A lot of unpaid labor, above all. And as well as the very simple, significant cost you've been describing so well of being pregnant, going through these decisions, taking that responsibility,
right.
and eventually going through that scene from Alien, otherwise known as birth. All of that is a tremendous cost that's borne disproportionately by women as opposed to men. Yet, you know, they're at best, women and men are faced with the same circumstances when it comes to benefiting from it. Right.
But I mean, we need it. Look at it another way, because everybody goes through that experience to come into life. So everybody experiences
that. Well, but you know, that's you know, I'm
not born, you have to go through a childbirth.
Yeah, but you don't remember anything, you know.
No, but it's still, you know, they're like
part
she
of
said,
humanity.
It takes two to tango. There
sure.
are two people in that equation, no matter what. There's the mom, there's the baby, or sometimes there's two babies.
Right,
you know?
More.
Sure.
So, you know, and so everybody.
But you don't bear the cost. I was traumatized a little bit, but
you
I didn't.
Can bear the
I wasn't
cost
cut
as
open
a child.
Twice. I didn't have to carry that giant water balloon around for 9 months, you know? I didn't have to have all these side effects, whether ranging from miserable to horrible,
right.
You know, all of that stuff. I didn't have to do that. But if somebody didn't do it, right?
Right.
We go extinct.
Exactly.
Right? And in fact, that's, I like to, people think, I don't know, I think it's so common sense. I mean, at some point, there was we have interesting arguments about it sometimes, right? I mean, I do see all societies had, you know, the mother goddess, the fertility goddess, and she was always very pregnant, clearly, you know. All different parts of the world had the same religion, if you will. And once we started settling into cities with bureaucrats and soldiers and classes, in other words, and nobles and peasants and slaves or whatever the particulars, the powerful people realized that, yeah, you know, all the power and wealth comes from one place, the uterus. Right? Little farmers, little soldiers.
Right.
So that king somewhere in, you know, Akkad or someplace 3,000 years ago.
No,
5,000 years ago, right? Yeah, so, you know, we have to own it. So, I mean, I think that's the initial kind of gesture, you know, the initial place in which kind of patriarchy forms itself to control women, not just because they're... No, I can't say the word that would come to my mouth right now. It describes the genitalia of males. So, you know, it's not because of that. It was logical.
Right.
You know, it was logical to control the bodies of women. We see it going on and on. And in fact, quite the renaissance today in America, isn't it?
Attempts. And in fact, so again, I work on early modern literature and European. And, you know, through all this discussion, we are very lucky to be able just to not only get education, you know, understand all those things, but choosing our birth, choosing when we are pregnant. Mm. You know, like all the women I work with, you know, 17th century French literature, they all started to get pregnant at age 15 with probably an old guy, you know, like a 50-year-old something. And they went to not all of them, because some of them chose not to be married, which was such, they were outcasts just because of that. But many of them went to 6-7 pregnancies, you know, kept 4-5 kids.
Until they died, typically,
between,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perrault's wife died in her 6th pregnancy. I think she was 22.
And how many of the kids survived, too? I mean, that era we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the richest, the court of Louis XIV.
Yeah, I'm talking about the courts of Louis XIV, you know, like
the upside, though, the peasants did choose who they slept with, they choose who they did anything.
Well, a little more.
Had
it's
a better
not like
life.
They really...
Well, they had a much more control, a much more egalitarian, generally, life, the peasants, than the aristocratic girls. We focus on the princesses. That indeed, you know, at puberty were sold to some dirty old man for power or money.
Speaking of princesses, that makes me think of tiaras, which makes me think of mom prom.
Right. Announce that party.
Right. Oh, what a good turn back to.
So all of this is to kind of give people an idea of what ICANN, the International Caesarean Awareness Network, what ICANN stands for and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to help educate people and support them through educating themselves and helping them heal from surgical birth, mentally, you know, physically, all holistically, and get through that experience or work through that experience. Anyway, so the Mom Prom is a fundraiser for local ICANN chapters. And that's actually why we started out this whole conversation.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
We're having a Mom Prom, and it is April 25th. And it's going to be from 7 to 11. And just like Angela had said, it has all the traditional trappings of a prom. So there's going to be a DJ and dancing, and there's going to be food, and there's going to be swag bags, and there's going to be dessert. Oh, the dessert. Yeah, the dessert's good. And there's going to be alcohol for all the legal participants in that. And
for the pregnant ladies.
Well, and that's the thing. You don't have to be a mom to come to mom prom. Just identify as female, and you're in. You know, the ticket, and you're in. That's the two-part system that we have. Identify as female, have your ticket. That's it. And we do have a lot of information, which I want to give out. The website is centralfloridamomprom.com, which is kind of a mouthful, but just spell it out, centralfloridamomprom.com. And that has like all of the information, but we're here to kind of chat about Mom Prom and give you a little bit of a sneak peek at what you can expect and kind of talk about it and what it is. I'll let you jump in.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started planning this last year the prom for last year, our very first one, because we really needed a fun outlet and event for this particular group, because our topic is so heavy. It's so heavy. And, you know, we have these meetings that we have twice a month where, you know, we say it's not an ICANN meeting unless somebody cries. Somebody always cries because it is so heavy and emotional. Mm-hmm. And these women build these friendships. I mean, Maggie and I met.
Yes.
We kind of would have met otherwise anyway.
Probably.
But we met because of ICANN.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we formed this friendship, and I am so grateful for that. And so many other women, same thing, but we don't get out. Right.
We don't get out.
Or we don't get out without our kids.
Right. Mm. Or we don't get out without our husbands. Right. We don't get out as a
very
large...
Do you offer child care at the party?
We do not offer child care. And
that'd
we do
cool,
not
though,
have
right?
children. No, it would not. Uh-huh. Because that means there would be kids there.
That would be on site. And right. the whole thing, we want to pee alone.
Right.
Not
that's
with
the
kids
whole. Yeah, exactly.
No, I am just thinking about the poor person that doesn't have anywhere to dump them.
Oh, well, they can get a hotel room and they can dump their husband upstairs with the children.
That's right.
So where is it?
It's at the UCF Radisson. That's on, is that on Alafaya?
It's Alafaya and Colonial.
Yeah.
Okay. Right at the corner next to entrance to UCF.
Yes.
Yes. They recently underwent all these, like, upgrades and changes.
It's gorgeous.
And it's so pretty in there.
The owner is obsessed with LEDs. Everything is LED.
Oh, yeah. It's so cheap now.
Yeah.
Our house, too.
Yes.
And he has so cheap and easy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
that
one here.
And he's completely remodeled it. I mean, it is... the last time I went in there before last year's planning was probably 10 years ago. And when I did the tour of the entire facility, I was shocked. And then again, when I did the tour for this year, I was even more blown away. They've done everything from light fixtures to carpeting to wall treatments to decor to fixtures in the bathroom. I mean, everything. The place was basically gutted.
Yeah.
And redone. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. So.
And when? You said when, right? And by the way, I will send me that info in an email and I will repost it also. To
wonderful.
That'd be great. Yeah. It's Saturday, April 25th. So, you know, there's still time to get tickets. Last year did sell out.
Did.
I will say that. So.
How many tickets? How big is the...
We had 150 tickets last year, and I had people literally calling me the day of saying, can I get a ticket? Can I get a ticket?
Right.
And I was like, I'm sorry, they're sold out. You can pay attention to the Facebook page to see if anybody can't come last minute.
Right.
And there were several wheeling and dealings that happened on there.
Right.
But I was like, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah, we should go scalping.
Get your name
there.
On a list.
Go scalping, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and I had people checking in at 8 o'clock going, I just got my ticket online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the event started at 7. So it was fantastic. I did interviews on the way out the door. I was handing out swag bags and handing out the wine glasses. And I was like, so, did you have fun? And I swear, every single person was like, I don't want to leave.
Yes.
Don't make me leave.
Where am I supposed to go? There were people saying, okay, you guys, it's
like,
kind of like the bar closing. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay in this room.
That's exactly what I had to say.
Yeah, you have to have
like,
the mom after party.
Next well, year, we are, actually. Yes. This year we are having an after party in the bar.
And
that
this
is
year we've expanded the number of tickets that are available.
Yeah.
So even though it's, I mean, even though we've expanded it, I would say it's still going to sell out.
Yes.
So
we're getting very close. We're actually very close to last year's goal.
Right.
So, and we still have like 20 days left.
Right.
So, or give or take a few days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're well on our way to being sold out. And, you know, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And knowing that everybody is going to have so much fun when they walk in that door.
Yeah.
And
that photo booth was, fun photo
hilarious.
Booth that could hold, like, well, we got
five,
eight
six people seven,
there.
Eight, yeah.
And they had props and fun things. And it was really nice because I've been to several events where they have a photo booth and they go, okay, well, here's a business card and you can scan the thing and you can download your photo or whatever. This place gave you the strip of photos right then and there.
As many as you wanted.
As many as you, so
yeah.
like if you had eight people go in, you got eight strips, you know, one for everybody. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, ooh, who do I want to pose with now?
Because
you weren't limited to just going in one time. So it was just like, and of course, as people are drinking,
the photos
get funnier and funnier and funnier as the night goes on. And
There were some shenanigans happening that I blush when I hear and think about, where I was just like, I saw the first round of pictures before they got released, and we had to take a few out.
Really?
Yeah. There were several we had to take out that did not get put on the website because there were some serious shenanigans happening, and we were just like, oh, okay, no, that's not PG rated.
Does it have to be PG rated? You're all like adult women.
There were some adult moments happening.
Well, you're all adult women there, though, right?
On, but it was.
I probably want to get their permission before they get posted publicly.
Right.
Now you have to go to participate in the shenanigans. That's good promotion right there.
There were several pregnancy announcements last year.
There were in the photo booth. We had a couple women who announced that they were pregnant that way, and we were like, "What?"
Yes.
We had no idea.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, we...
And there are raffles and silent auction items.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff for that. It's all sitting in my house, and my husband's like, hurry up and get it out. He's so tired of it being everywhere.
And a very cool thing, speaking of raffles, is we do have a prom queen.
Yes.
But, you know, at a high school, prom queen is, like, voted on, and so it's always like...
contest.
The cheerleader or, you know, whoever was able to get enough friends to vote for or whatever. It's a popularity contest, but we do it as a raffle. So everybody has exactly the same chance as everybody else to win.
And when you get your ticket, you are automatically given a raffle ticket for prom queen.
Right.
Yeah. So everybody has an equal chance. Yeah. Unless you buy more tickets for prom queen.
That's true. Some people do.
Yeah.
You know, they really want it. You know, either they were like, oh, I didn't get it in high school and I really want it or whatever, but they will get more tickets for that.
You should have awards, you know, like person had the most C-sections, you know.
No.
Maybe the person had the least.
No. It would be more like who was the funniest of the night or, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
What are they? It's called
superlative awards. Yeah,
yeah. Superlatives. But maybe next year we'll have to email that to ourselves.
Right.
For a reminder. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun last year and it was a lot of work to put it together, but every moment of work was so worth it. Mm-hmm. By the end of the night, we were just like, yeah. We went back up to our hotel room. We had some drinks. We played Cards Against Humanity. They kept me awake until 4 a.m. I hated them. I was like, go away, you crazy people. I want to go to sleep. And they're like, we never get out of the house like this. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I want to go to bed. I'm tired.
To do it more often.
Right. I know, right? So, yeah, there's a lot more hotel rooms booked this year, I think, because people are expecting what the end of night outcome is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
I think that surprised a lot of people last year. Last year, I went purely as a guest. I was not in any way or shape involved in the planning. And so.
And you rocked that whole guest status too by getting there as early as you did and checking in. That was awesome.
Oh my goodness. I was so excited. I told my husband, I was like, you need to get me a corsage because I'm going to prom. And he was like, what? And I was like, you need to get me a corsage because I'm going to prom. And you go to a prom with a corsage.
That's the flowers in the box thing.
The little flower thing on your wrist or your chest.
And so I was like, woohoo. I put it on. Everybody was like, you got a corsage? And I was like, well, yeah, I made it happen. But
as we moms tend to do.
Yeah, I was like, I know if I want this, I need to make sure that he knows that I want this. Like, I can't expect him to read my mind. So. But I went early, and I got there at the pool, and I had my book, and I'm taking pictures of, like, my feet at the pool, and I'm like, yes, mom prom hasn't even begun, and I'm already having fun.
Yeah.
And I like, milked it for all it was worth. And I had I'm going to be honest, I had so much more fun than I even expected to. Mm. Not that I wasn't expecting it to be fun, but I was like, okay, I remember how my prom was, and it was fun, but it was, you know, a dance. And it's way better than that because, I don't know, maybe as an adult it's more fun or maybe because you're not worried about your date or I don't know, but it was so much bigger and better and cooler than any prom experience I'd ever had. So
generally who goes there? You know, I mean, to follow even, you know, people who just heard about it, maybe on the show,
and then,
oh, that's interesting, I'll buy a ticket.
We did most of our marketing last year by social media.
Yes.
We did 90% of our marketing was by social media. We had ads in a few different local town magazines, but I would say that 99% of our tickets came from social media and word of mouth.
But they're not connected to it in some way?
What's that?
They're not connected to the cause of
Well, and that was the thing, is we wanted to broaden our reach. We wanted people who had no idea who we were. In fact, every time my co-coordinator, Tabitha, and I would look at the guest list and we didn't know a name, we would totally do the happy dance because we're like, thank God, more people we don't know.
Mm. Right.
We want people there who don't even know who our faces, you know, who our names are.
Right.
Because we want to broaden the reach and they can be like, oh my gosh, I've heard of this ICANN group, and have a friend who needs it and say, you should go see them. They're pretty fabulous. They know how to have a good time. Which we do.
And also because mom prom doesn't have anything to actually do with birth or birth experiences, it is, you know, something that anybody can go and experience
for
and have fun at. It's not like you have to be kind of in the know to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's funny, last year I went and they had, I remember that because I knew Angela and she was like, you guys, use the hashtag and like post on social media whenever you can. And I was like, I accept the challenge.
Yeah, you
so
did.
I actually reopened my Twitter account, which I hadn't used in, since I started it, maybe 3 years before. And I was like, I'm going to tweet. And I was all excited. I'm taking pictures and I'm tweeting. I'm posting on Facebook and all this. And as a result, like the next week, all these people kept asking me, what was that thing that you went to? Tell me more about that. What was that? Where, why did you go? Were you, you know, and all these questions, all these people were asking me about it. And this year, a couple of girls from my cooking club actually said, hey, I've got my ticket for mom prom already. And I was like, that's awesome. And you don't know them at all.
I have no idea who they are.
Right. And so it's just, and I was all excited. And then I have a friend who's a runner, but she loves cupcakes. And I was like, hey, guess what? Guess who the cupcake person is, you know, cupcake sponsor is. And she was like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, it's just, it's more of a, you know, it's an organic reach that we're trying mm-hmm. to get, I think. But, and it seems to be working because yeah. the buzz from last year was so impressive and so overwhelming. I don't think I talked to anybody who was like, yeah, it was okay. Not one.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, it, with any given event, you're going to have a couple of people who are like, nah, it was okay.
Mm. Somebody said that about the drink. We had a signature cocktail, and her reply was, yeah, it was okay. And I was like, are you kidding? I had like six of them.
Right.
They were delicious.
I'll be honest. It wasn't my favorite either, but this year's.
Well, you were so part exciting. Of the planning committee on that, yes. which was brilliant.
Yes.
The alcohol
we
planning
have a
committee.
Signature drink.
Plural.
Signature.
Drinks, right. That's true. Although I didn't know if that was going to be mm-hmm. like.
Yeah,
a,
no, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just not releasing the information about it just
yeah,
quite yet.
Make a surprise,
oh, and we
yeah.
have a theme for yes. the oh. event. I've been wearing these ever since I got them because our theme is Rock the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
so I got these. We had a shopping event at our one of our sponsors is Style Encore, and they're a local like resale clothing company. And so they actually hosted a shopping event for all the moms going to mom prom to get dresses because quite frankly, I didn't have a prom dress just sitting in my closet waiting for this event, you know, because
you don't.
Right. I know.
Who doesn't keep a stack of formals in the
exactly.
back of
the exactly. I never exactly. been to prom and I have at least a 5 prom dresses
right?
in my closet
yeah.
that I don't know what to do with.
You right. should come to mom prom and wear one.
Exactly.
Or many have wardrobe changes.
Yeah. That's right. You can have, mm-hmm. yeah. Totally.
I bought 2 dresses. Changes. I'm totally going to have a wardrobe change.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's great. One for the after party.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well.
Or, so anyway, but yeah, so they had the shopping event. And so I already have my dress for mom prom this year, but I was like, well, I'll just shop around. And I ended up getting, I'm not actually wearing anything today, but I got a whole bunch of clothes. And then I got these awesome, and I'll describe them for you out in Radioland, these bright yellow plastic bangles, and they are just like chunky and plastic and totally 80s.
Yeah, they
almost
are.
70s,
no? It's gonna be so big.
So, yeah, so I.
To me, the 80s is all like black, deep blue, torn
and
clothing.
And neon and yellow shoes.
Batcave, you know?
So we've been trying to post on Instagram like all these different 80s things as well. Mm. Like one of the girls who came to the shopping event had on jelly shoes, and I was like, oh, I need to take a picture of your feet.
I mean, that's a moment to feel old, actually, a little bit, right? I mean, when you have a mom party, that for them the 80s is already nostalgic. And
well,
not
well,
like when
Maggie
you were
had to write a post
young,
about that. You know? Yes, she had to write an entire blog post about that because we have so many moms coming who are in their early 20s. Who were
so
like ovum
again,
in
the,
right,
yeah.
they were like an egg, and so we had to write a blog post how
right,
to
you
rock
guys
the 80s if you were in
elementary school.
I was alive.
Alive, yeah,
I remember.
Preschool.
No, I was, yeah,
I was all about Madonna.
I was, I guess, 3 to 13
yeah.
in the '80s. So
yeah,
yeah.
Three
yeah.
to 13.
Yeah, in right. the '80s,
okay.
you know, 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
yeah.
Right.
That was my yeah. window there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I totally remember the '80s in many forms, you know. But yeah, so we are having so much fun planning it too. Like, and all the little details, like we have one girl, Heather, who is working on something with cassette tapes and spray painting them. And I'm not actually sure what she's doing with them,
oh,
but
I
I'm
know.
All excited to see what happens. I kind of want to be surprised.
Okay.
I still
I
have them in
them.
My office, my big collection. I could never bring myself to throw them away.
You don't mind
yeah.
donating them first?
I could.
The vinyl I have they're playable and
you
set
like,
up.
Oh, let's get rid of that thing. And
did I?
No,
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm ready for it. It's dead technology. It's completely dead. Vinyl, you know, I'm very happy that I didn't consider for a second to vinyl,
right.
Vinyl,
yeah.
Right, American. It's too, yeah, I'd never considered to throw them away, and I'm happy to have them.
I think we're going to have a centerpiece or two that are cassette tapes that have all their innards pulled out with some pencils.
So people can kind of get that.
Yeah.
That meme that ran around about who remembers
these two things are related.
Yeah.
So you're just barely. Now that we're finally celebrating the death of the disc, right? I mean, late 19th century to beginning of the 21st, and discs are pretty much dead.
Oh, that's it.
What?
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah. The concept
of
the disc.
They're coming to Orlando. How can they be dead?
Oh, God. Oh, did you see the comment I made about them? It was really not kind, but I did see them.
No, you know what? It's time they retired.
Yeah, somebody said
they're not going to surpass the Beatles. They will always be in the shadows.
Yeah. I was never a huge fan. I understand their importance, but I did see them once because of that reason, like in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
On their first farewell tour.
I don't even know. They were boring.
Yeah. And there's no Puerto Rican girls dying to meet them either reminder of that song. But, yeah, they will never surpass the Beatles. I'm sorry. And if Paul McCartney is listening, hey, yeah.
Well, he might be local right now. You never know.
So one thing we should definitely say about Mom Prom as well is that there's a lot of people who have little bitty babies. And they're like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Well, that's good. Bring your baby. As long as that baby is not walking yet, we welcome that baby to come along.
Yeah, carry him in a sling.
Yep, put them in her. Look at you. Yeah. Baby wearing. I love it. Bring your baby along if they're not walking yet. We have a nursing lounge set up for moms who need some quiet downtime with their babies. There'll be a changing station set up. So that's totally fine. Last year, I think we had probably like 7 or 8 babies there.
Yeah.
And it worked out perfectly. And in fact, there were people going into the come down lounge just because they needed a few minutes of quiet.
Right.
Because it was loud.
The chill room. Yeah. And it's even bigger this year. And it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful too. Yeah.
It's not a boardroom this year. Right. Last year it was a boardroom. This year it's an actual ballroom.
Yes.
That will have couches and tables and furniture and things like that. So that's something that a lot of moms are kind of hesitant about. Like, I don't know, I'm just not ready to leave this sweet, little squishy.
Tiny little. Yeah.
Right. You know, and that's cool. We love babies.
Yep.
In fact, pass that baby over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold your baby.
In fact, the shirt I'm wearing smells like somebody's baby's spit up from last night. And they were like, she's a spitter. And I was like, that's okay. I like it. And now today, sorry, Melissa.
The next day, not so much.
It's kind of sour now.
Yeah, babies. I'll admit, just because I had mine, a lot of strange, experiences, precisely all very new to me, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, babies are still gross.
Oh, they're not. They're wonderful. Oh, we love babies.
Yeah.
We love babies until they start walking and then they can stay home for the night.
Right.
Yes. Because you need to have a night out to yourself
other people's
with your girlfriends.
Other people's children. kids that are cool and friends with my kids, I tolerate them.
I work with kids. It was a long time getting to that.
Radio. Yeah, I work with 18, 19-year-olds. That's enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's kids
enough. Yeah, but those are adults. Come on.
They're supposed to be adults. Yeah. Nah, I'm just kidding. They better get to be ones. Obviously if it doesn't go sufficiently through the airwaves, you can tell the party's going to be good just because of the way, you're getting ready for it.
Right? I'm very excited. Like,
I am too.
I am kind of simultaneously, the closest thing I can compare it to is like my wedding. I was so excited for it and I wanted it to get here like right now, but at the same time I was like, oh, but there's still a lot of stuff we need to put in place.
Yeah.
So I want more time, but I don't want more time because I'm ready for it to be here. So that's about the closest thing I can compare it to.
I totally agree with you on that. I felt the same way about my wedding where I was like, this is the best party I've ever been to.
Right.
I want to do this again.
Right.
With you, of course, again. You were great. I like your part of it. My husband. He's awesome. But yeah, it was the best party ever. And then last year I would say it was very similar to that. I, even working it, because I, being an organizer of the event from, day zero.
Right.
My responsibility is to work at the event.
Right.
But I still had so much fun working.
I
while
saw
I was
pictures
there.
In the photo booth. I know. Everybody got a chance to like let their hair down, and that was awesome.
Yeah, and people kept asking me to hold their drink, and I was like, okay.
Glug. Sip, sip, sip.
Sip, sip, glug. Oh, was that yours? I'm sorry. Let me go to the bar and get you another one.
I think you should open a club. I'm not even joking.
You know what?
There might be some serious demand you're tapping in here, especially, I don't know if we're going to go there, because like I said, we go where we meander and leave out all the important stuff. That's why it's called punkonomics. But, you know, I was the, in some sense in my head, I kind of sought to go to kind of beyond all the pressure that mommies are under. You guys mentioned stuff and always were in the context of the birth, but I kind of wanted to underline it, like, you know, to bring it into the whole culture issues, whether it is on campus rapes and rape culture, whether it is the kind of pressure to be the perfect mother or perfect parent all the time, which is really kind of exploited by commercial interests and people in getting in your business. And I mean, you said many things that kind of were related to that, just kind of to bring it out there. But go back to the party. I mean, let's hook that on the party, you know, and see where that takes us. Because why is it so cool, right? I mean, so I'm the guy here thinking like, well, that's all we have to do. I mean, when I always like to want to stay at home and not go to parties because I'm antisocial and you always want me to come. So you see, you're all wrong. You should say, stay. Nobody invited you.
That's kind of what we said anyway.
That might, you know, you should appreciate that I'm the kind of guy that doesn't want to go to the party. But jokes aside, right? So there is this kind of, your people hold you my drink, and I'm like in the world where my 12-year-old daughter will soon, you know, almost 13, will have to go out into the world, right? So it's Florida. I plan on heavily arming her, I suppose. That's what we do in Florida. No, I'm not even joking. I have no idea.
You know? My husband's from Kentucky. I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I mean, several firearms, you know, throwing knives. I mean, she'll be, you know, covered. But again, no non-jokes aside, you know, all the rape drugs that are so popular. I mean, all these stories that you hear. Exactly, right?
It's a totally safe place.
Guys are useless. I mean, pretty sure you can have babies. You heard that? I mean, it's happening, right? You can have babies with two female zygotes, so you don't even have to have a sperm. Not even a drone. Not even a sperm donor. The technology is across the horizon.
Interesting.
I've not heard this.
So we would be completely useless for anything anymore. So we better be nice.
I give that a standing ovation.
Yeah. I'm ready to go extinct, you know. But again, it's something interesting that there's this, you know, enthusiasm and demand. Is this not necessarily a bad thing? Maybe today we are even expecting, maybe were they like past spaces of, maybe there were more spaces that women were a little bit alone amongst themselves, sharing common experiences that are kind of somewhat gone today. All public spaces are gone. So women from
in the Greek society and Roman society, they had a festival that was only that was only for women, and it was a 3 days festival every year. And the men, their husbands, had to pay for all the apparels and all the stuff for the women. It was a requirement.
Yeah. Even the Romans nasty, violent, patriarchal society.
Yeah, right? Women like hanging out together is not a new thing. I mean, at some point, you know, if you're not like in the going to bars just because you wanna find a guy or something, then there is no point of having guys around in a party. Especially mine. Yeah. So it's like, okay, can we go now? Okay, can we go now? Okay, can we go now? It's worse than kids, you know?
Right.
Are we there yet? You know?
Yeah.
Well,
it's
boring.
In a situation where nobody wants to leave because it's so much fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Drag. Yes.
So I think it would work, you know? You don't have any peer pressure. You don't have anybody looking at you, which you sometimes do not want that.
Right.
I mean, most of the time. I mean,
you're changing the dynamic. It makes there's all these extra issues. Is that it? It's kind of a degree where,
gone. I mean, you're in peers, basically.
It's more simple. Right. I mean, it simplifies. It's more kind of comfortable in that sense. I think we can all get it. I mean, it's just a different, as a guy, I get it based on other things.
No, the guys get it all the time. They have their man caves. They have their, you know, game evenings and their this and that. But us women, we're always home taking care of something. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So working, taking care of something out of the home, or doing both at the exact same time somehow.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if we get like one evening with a girlfriend, my God, you know, once a month, we are like so lucky.
Yeah.
Like, I went to breakfast with a girlfriend. Yeah. What?
You do it a lot.
And how you feel after that.
Well, I mean, we're all, everybody's, you know, extremely busy these days.
No, I invite my girlfriends to come with me to a bar next where I am stuck with my daughter when she's at dance. So.
Well, we all have to multitask.
You know, that's multitasking.
That's another aspect of the awful business.
Saying, okay,
Yeah.
We are just going to go out. I mean, I do that with a girlfriend of mine, like once, twice a year. We decide, okay, tonight it's a girls' night out and we go out. Mm. It happens. I mean, when I say twice a year.
And you would go to their club, wouldn't you?
Once every 2 years.
Good food, healthy, but good, you know?
Yeah, I'll go there.
Yeah.
Maybe a built-in childcare you could consider, like with isolation. That
we'll
way people can literally dump them,
right.
Dump the kids there and go party.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe at one of the hotels down the street.
Yeah.
Not on site.
I can see a whole complex. It's like, no, wait, why think small? Why think club? I can see, like, you know, you setting up beside, you know, between Disney and Universal, you know.
We even had, I've had several women come to me and say, well, I don't really feel like I know anybody. I think I'll know one person there. And I'm like, I promise you, if you know me, and you know one other person there, you will be fine.
Yeah.
You will talk to so many people.
Exactly.
And have so much fun and meet so many brilliant.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people last year.
It's actually better to go with by yourself than with someone, because when you go with someone, you're always stuck with someone. Mm-hmm. But when you go by yourself, you have to speak to
You always abandon
me. In fact, you're right, Benny.
That's why I don't want to go.
This year,
I'm shy.
There is my kid is, Talia, my daughter, is in a seventh grade in a private school, and they have since all the parents since kindergarten have the a kind of a mom's night out for that. Mm. How do they call themselves? The hot mom's parties or something.
I want in on that.
Yeah. Every maybe 4 months, somebody 3 months, somebody does something special, and it's only moms, no guys, no kids, no whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Talk about women that can party. I mean, I could hardly go home.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and you know, part of the thing is we wrap up so much of our identity in the short people that we serve day in and day out, and our husbands who we, you know, or our partners who we want to care for, and we want to maintain this family unit. And it is so essential to strip those away every once in a while and do something 100% completely for yourself.
Yes.
Just totally for
yourself.
So,
when they have conversations, do they speak about their kids?
Mm-hmm. Does your party pass the Bechdel test?
I wasn't in on a whole lot of the conversations because I was working so much. Mm-hmm. But I would say with the amount of booze that was flowing and the pictures that I saw from the professional photographer.
I think maybe it started that way.
It might have started that way, but then it veered
completely off.
Yeah.
Like when I met somebody
new.
Kids?
I don't have kids.
Yeah, like when I was meeting people at mom prom last year, because I was introduced to a lot of new people that I'd never met before. So that was like the initial, oh, hey, let's talk about our kids and, you know, similarities. And that was where then, that was like the jumping off point. Oh, you like Doctor Who? I love Doctor Who, or whatever. You know, like it was something that just, you know.
You do call it mom proms, so in some sense, you're only for breeders.
And no.
No.
And that is unfortunately a misnomer.
Right.
If you can come up with something as catchy
as mom prom,
as mom prom, that insinuates any person who identifies as a female and likes to have a good time, let us know.
Because mom proms have actually been going on for many
like 10
years.
Plus years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a way, it's a fundraiser for an organization. That's kind of how it was set up. So we said, okay, that's something that's already kind of established. It has a little bit of name recognition, I'm assuming. That's the start of that. And so then, you know, it is that. Sure. But yeah, it is a misnomer. And I've actually talked to several people in person. I'm like, hey, are you coming to mom prom? And they're like, well, no, because I'm not a mom. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it has nothing to do with actually being a mom.
Right.
You're female. You can come.
Mommy con, moms.
Right.
That is,
yes.
If you are a mommy and you want to go to mommy con, go.
Right.
Because that is all about the mommy stuff.
Right.
But this is more like the
female.
Female, enjoy yourself.
Right.
Have a great time.
Yes. You don't have to be a mom at all.
No.
Yeah, once again, 2 hours flew by. So yeah, all right, you got it. I will post it on punkonomics.org, and which feeds to all the social networks automatically, so that we'll give once again the announcement on the website and et cetera, so you can see. And yeah, man, I'm
also. Go to the website, Maggie?
CentralFloridaMomProm.com.
There you go.
We actually have a PSA in the Rivendell system if you want to play that maybe later.
Awesome. Oh. Well, I didn't line it up, but I'll remember that next time.
So sadly today, I mean, you know, don't worry about the, I mean, when I heard that, that's the only thing I remembered. So I said mom prom, immediately Google figured out what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have somebody who is on the web taking care of that stuff.
Well, you've been listening to Punkonomics here on WPRK Winter Park, Florida, the voice of Rollins College and the best in basement radio. And we'd like to remind everybody out there that the opinions stated here today are solely ours and not of the staff here at WPRK or Rollins College. So don't shoot them and don't shoot us either. You know who to blame.
Hey, we didn't speak about politics almost at all.
Yeah, we didn't even speak about
politics. Awesome.
I mean, everything's politics.
Right,
yeah, exactly. remember, we're always right even when we're wrong.
Yeah. That's so true.
Take care, everybody. See you again next week from 2 to 4 on Wednesdays. Punkonomics.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
The preceding program did not reflect the views or opinions of the station, its management, or employees.
WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. I am John Lydon.